Amen. Thank you, John, for the good word. And those are pretty good jokes, too. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And in considering this idea, this concept of the seasons of fatherhood, obviously you've seen John, who is a younger man. I'm 38 now, and still I think, this is the way I've thought for some time now, that I'll probably be a young man to a bunch of people until I'm probably 80, especially if some of you live to be 100, that just seems to be the way that it goes. But John, in raising younger children, for me myself, I'm blessed to have four children from the ages of 3 all the way up to 13, which seems crazy because I remember when my 13-year-old was my 3-year-old. And he was the only one that was around. I take that back. I have a daughter who would have been 1 at that time. It's a blessing, but it's also something that is intimidating and something that we as fathers are completely inadequate for. Amen? All of the honest men just said amen just now. Some of you may have been shy ameners, but it is something that we're completely inadequate for. And something that we need the gracious enablement of our Heavenly Father every single day to be able to manifest the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, to be able to love our wives as Christ loved the church, and to be able to raise our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, because apart from His grace, we can't do that. And as John mentioned, we also need His grace when we have to confess to our Heavenly Father and also to our wives and also to our children when we fall short of that. And we need to be honest enough, and we need to be Christ-like enough to be humble and to confess our sins to our children and to our wives when we do so. Fatherhood is a precious and weighty responsibility. If you've been a father for very long, you understand that. And I think Tony Payne in his book Fatherhood echoes that, and this is what he writes. It says, fatherhood is not for the soft or the mediocre. It's an adventure and a cause and a battle. It will take all the strength, courage, resourcefulness, hard work, and honesty that you can throw at it. Not just for a week or a month, but for years of your life. Fathers, we're saved by grace. We grow spiritually by grace. We obey by God's grace, and we also parent by God's grace. And our children need to see that evidenced in our lives and also hear it in our words. We teach them in a very real, tangible way every single day what it means to know, love, and serve God. People learn in different ways. But one of the ways that we learn most often and we learn best is by seeing. And our children are looking to us, fathers, and as we've been given that responsibility to be spiritual overseers in our homes, they're looking to us to know what it means to love, honor, and serve God. Solomon in Proverbs chapter 3 gives us an example, fathers, of how to teach our children. And he is following the example that his father David gave to him. So if you have your copy of the scripture, I ask you to turn to Proverbs chapter 3. And fathers, as we give our children lessons for their well-being, one of the things that we teach them is found in verses 3 and 4 of Proverbs chapter 3. And this is what Solomon writes. He says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Fathers, as we give our children lessons for their well-being, one of the things that we need to teach them by the gracious enablement of our God is to teach them to be people who are characterized by steadfast love and faithfulness. We read of that in the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are all things that are produced in our lives by the indwelling Holy Spirit because we have a relationship with our God through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. We cannot work ourselves up to produce the fruit of the Spirit because it is a fruit of the Spirit. So, fathers, as we teach our children, first of all, we must teach them the gospel. We must teach them that they are sinners, just like every other human being. Sinners who are guilty in the sight of God, who need God's forgiveness that's only possible through the death and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. Teach them the gospel. Pray for them that they might repent and believe the gospel and be born again, that they might have the indwelling Holy Spirit in their lives, so that they can possibly, by the gracious enablement of God, be people characterized by steadfast love and faithfulness. The word translated here, steadfast love, is from the Hebrew word hesed. I won't pronounce it the way that it's supposed to be pronounced because that's a guttural sound, and I don't want to hit Bob down here in the front row. Hesed is a word used of God's love for His people. It's a love that's manifested in loyalty, keeping one's word. When God makes a promise, God keeps His promises. Amen? As Christian fathers, we need to, by God's gracious enablement, keep our promises. And when we don't, because there are times that we won't, we need to be willing to confess that and ask forgiveness of God and also of our children. But we need to teach our children the importance of keeping one's word, because that reflects the character of God. We need to teach our children the importance of doing things for the good of others, speaking truth to others, holding one another accountable, praying for one another. An outward focus, a self-sacrificial love. Our children will see, fathers, what it means not only to respect and love their mother, but also what it looks like to respect and love a spouse one day. They need to see that in us. And they need to know that when we fall short and when we blow it and when we sin, that we are quick to acknowledge that and seek to make that right. We need to teach them to be people who are faithful. Faithful in serving their God and faithful to keep their word. It seems as though today, as we have grown up, as I've grown up, first through high school and then into college, there was such a thing called situational ethics. You don't hear about that much anymore, but you see it on a daily basis. That I will keep my word as long as it's convenient for me. That's why we see such a rampant rise in divorce rates. I will keep my word as long as it is convenient and it prospers me. Are you not thankful that God keeps His word and His eternal covenant of salvation toward you in Christ, even when you were not faithful? In the times when my thoughts and my actions are ugly and offensive to God, that He says, you know what? This relationship is not prospering me much right now. I'm going to set you aside. Are you not thankful that that is not the way that our God operates? Let's teach our children that, fathers. The next thing that we see in giving our children lessons for their well-being is found in verses 5 and 6. We need to teach our children to trust God and not their own judgment. In teaching them to trust God and not their own judgment so that they might seek to honor Him in all things. Look at verses 5 and 6. The word says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. How do we do that, dads? How do we teach our children to trust God rather than our own judgment? Our kids have to see in us at the breakfast table and in evening devotions or whenever you're able to do that, that the Word of God is what sets the agenda for your own life and for the your family, and for your church participation in how you treat others. Because if they see that the Word of God sets the agenda in your family life and in your work life, in how you treat others in your neighborhood, and how you function in your local church family, they will see that you're not trusting your own judgment, but that you're trusting God's, because your life is marched in line with what the Word of God teaches. They need to see that. If they see that we just touch the Word of God and we just dabble in the Word of God just a little bit, but it doesn't really touch our lives, we will teach them that we trust our own judgment supremely above God's. And that's not what we want. If they don't see it in us, they will not see the value in it. And I'm not saying that you need to be a pastor. I'm not saying you need to be a deacon or an ABF teacher. I'm saying that if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, by His enablement, you can open the Word of God and you can read it for yourselves and you can dig into it through study notes and a study Bible. You can come and you can sit under the Word of God and you can pay attention, and your children can see that, and they will see from those things that you trust God's judgment rather than your own, and you seek to honor Him in your life rather than seeking your own agenda. John Stott says this about the Word of God. He says, "We must allow the Word of God to confront us, to disturb our security, to undermine our complacency, and to overthrow our patterns of thought and behavior." I like that. The Word of God is meant to be disruptive in our lives. Because God knows that when we're comfortable, we're usually not honoring Him. Look at the Old Testament. The Israelites, when they were comfortable, they weren't honoring Him. He warned them. He corrected them. He disciplined them. Why? Not because He was trying to cramp their style, but because He loved them. He made them uncomfortable, and He disciplined them. The Word of God must be central in our personal lives, our families, and our church gatherings. Fathers, in giving your children lessons for their good, teach them to honor or to fear God and turn from sin. Look at verses 7 and 8. He says, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." What does it mean to fear God? Proverbs 8, verse 13 tells us that to fear God is to hate evil. If we are becoming progressively more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, we will begin to think more like Him, and we will act more like Him, and we will hate sin like He hates sin. And we will hunger and thirst for righteousness as He desires for us. That doesn't mean that we will hate people, but we will hate sin because it is grievous and offensive to God. And fathers, if we don't teach our children that sin is serious and it's destructive, that foolishness is okay, we'll teach them that the fear of God is not required but optional. Do you realize every single day when we sin, and I've already done it this morning, that it is only by the grace of God that He allows me to still stand here and live and breathe, because He'd be fully just to take me home. That's how seriously God takes sin. So seriously that He took His only sinless Son, placed Him on the cross as a sin offering, and poured out the full brunt of His righteous wrath on that cross. That's how seriously He takes sin. We need to appropriately discipline our children so that they understand that sin has consequences. If you say, "They won't like me," we're choosing in that moment to trust our own judgment rather than God's. Verses 9 and 10. In giving our children lessons for their good, teach them to honor God in their giving. If you check out right now because this has something to do with finances, that's a problem. Listen to verses 9 and 10. He says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine." Pastors have a responsibility to warn and to correct and to guide and to teach. And parents, fathers, we have that same responsibility in our homes. Teach our children that when we give financially to God by faith and cheerfully, we are showing God that He is more important than our possessions, and we're also showing that we trust Him, that He will provide for our needs. He uses the term first fruits here, which is really picturesque in the imagery. It was the first part of the yield that was reaped when they would grow crops. And so for someone to give their first fruits meant, I'm giving God the first batch of what I have reaped, trusting that He's going to provide more. If you say that God doesn't have lordship over the area of your finances, then He doesn't have lordship over all of you. Teach our children to honor God in their finances and in their giving. And finally this, verses 11 and 12. In giving your children lessons for their good, dads, teach them to endure God's discipline and reproof. Verse 11 says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom He loves, as a father the son in whom He delights. Dads, we need to teach our children that God, if we're born again and we know Jesus Christ, God disciplines us when we sin because He loves us to help us repent and be restored to Him and to grow in Christ's likeness. And that as Christians, we should expect that. And if it doesn't occur, then Hebrews tells us we don't really know Him. Who is a child, the book of Hebrews says, that the father doesn't reprove and discipline? God's discipline in our lives is evidence of His faithful love and His grace. If He didn't love us, He'd just let us go off on our way to destruction. Destruction in our own lives and the others that are around us. Teach your children, that is God's love when He chastens you. If we don't teach through appropriate discipline our children the destructiveness of sin, we are not reflecting our Heavenly Father in the way that we act as earthly fathers. Teach them to endure God's discipline and reproof. It is for their good. And by the way, the Corinthians didn't practice biblical church discipline in their local congregation, so God did it for them. 1 Corinthians 11, 27 to 32 tells us that that's why some of the Corinthians were weak, sick, and dead. God is so good, and He is so faithful, and He is so steadfast in His love. If we refuse to do what God has called us to do, He will step in and do it. But wouldn't it be so much more joyful if by His gracious enablement we did the hard work, the appropriate work as dads ourselves? What a precious and weighty responsibility. If you think this morning, man, that was serious, well, I kind of gave you the indication with the word weighty in the title. I hope that you understand how weighty it is so that you remember your need for complete and utter dependence upon Him to do any of it for His glory and for the good of our children. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank You. I thank You that we can know You through the gospel, that we serve a risen Savior who paid for our sins in full, that we can have the privilege of knowing You as our Heavenly Father. And God, we so frequently fall short as dads. I'm thankful that there is no limit to Your grace, that as we confess and we repent, that God, You continue to use us. I pray that we would model Christ-likeness consistently in our lives and that we would own up to it when we don't. Help our children to know Jesus truly, to serve and love Him in their lives. I ask this in His name. Amen.